When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Get down! Jarrett Payton.
My dad kind of loved anything that I did. And I just, every year, I'm a competitor. I wanted to get better. I knew eventually I was going to have to try football.
The son of sweetness, Walter Payton, sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
That's right. Jarrett Payton, one of my favorite teammates because he knew exactly what it was to be great. Jarrett Payton was solid as a running back for us at UM.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky is in this morning for David, and it is always a delight to talk to our friend Jarrett Payton. And Jarrett, I was proud of you, buddy, when I heard Jonathan Vilma selling you hard during the game. I nearly called you. We should let everyone know you're joining us on the Aturo Hotline. You're all weather tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Jarrett. How you doing?
Hi, JP.
Hey, Mully and Ruthie, what's going on? What? Dave just taking a day off, man. You know, Ruthie's got to hold it down. I see you, girl. How you doing? How you guys doing? I should ask.
Better now that we're talking to you. But yeah, this weekend was rough.
That was so awful. I mean, that was you know, we argued about it. Was that the worst loss of the season, or was it the New England game? Because you expected different. That was. I know a lot of people thought the new coach bump was going to work, but
yes,
it's a really good team with really good coaching. That was a lopsided coaching matchup, frankly.
Yeah, I'm going to say the best part about Sunday was Jonathan Vilma giving me props,
yeah,
man. I was the whole entire time. My wife is always doing something around the house, like always moving. So it's rare that she sits down and we're sitting watching football together. And she walked in about 2 minutes before he said that. And she was just like, wow, like that's your boy talking about you. And I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. But yeah, I'm going to tell you something. It first half was pretty embarrassing. I mean, I want to say this to the fans out there because, you know, whether I'm on these airwaves or I'm on WGN every single night on GN Sports, you know, I believed in it too. Like I believed in a little bit. I think I was just maybe doing the coach speech a little bit, but in my heart, I knew that there were bigger issues. And that's how I felt watching that game, is that as much as I was very upset, you know, on Thanksgiving about what happened and was upset with Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus being fired was just a big problem, but it was just a part of the problem.
Right.
There's something that's deeper. And I want to say sorry to the fans because I was the one that was like, oh, now everything's going to be better. And deep down in my heart, I knew that it wasn't all going to be fixed and there was going to be some more issues. And we saw it linger into that Sunday game, and a team that in some ways looked a little bit unprepared for the moment, and that coach bump did not help, but I knew that there was going to be issues there as well. And I think for me, it was listening to Olin throughout the week, just about how tough it was and brought it back. I think he was talking to Spiegs and Lawrence just about, you know, you think about Kyle Shanahan and you kind of forget, even though that team was banged up and they don't have, they're on their 17th running back. And then you got pro bowlers hurt on the defensive side. You're a pro bowler Hall of Famer on your offensive line, like all these things, but you forget about how good Kyle Shanahan is at calling plays, if not the best in the league. And and for a team that probably should have been down for how bad they've been losing over, you know, the last two games, they were energized. Right. They were licking their chops like, yo, we're playing the Bears. It's time for us to get back up again. And that's what hurts the most, because both teams came into the game needing to find a way to like get back on track, a bounce back. And that wasn't the case for the Bears. And offensively, you guys, the slow starts, there's no way. The Bears have to find ways to get things going early, because they are not a team that can play from behind. They have to, if they're going to have a chance to win, they got to get a lead. And I think just the game plan early on, I was on Twitter just really, you know, posting about, they didn't run the football enough early on and commit to the run. And to me, that's what's been the issue. The games where you see Caleb having fun is taking a little bit of that pressure off of him. And that wasn't the case on Sunday.
JP, I think we all were sort of romanticizing this idea of Thomas Brown coming in. And you know what? Everyone's like, where is this interim bump? You know, where is this narrative coming from? Well, you're seeing it in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That what Darren Rizzi is doing there, I think, is absolutely spectacular. And so I think you're seeing evidence of why people were getting excited about Thomas Brown coming in. Obviously, someone that's very likable and easy to root for. Did Sunday's game for you change how you feel about his potential as a candidate for the job? And if, you know, moving forward in these final four games, is there a way for him to kind of bounce back and show that he deserves to have the potential to run maybe this team or any team?
Yeah, Ruthie, it hasn't changed a lot. I'm a big, huge Thomas Brown fan. I want him to be successful. I want him to succeed. I'm giving him all the opportunity, as I hope that this organization is. But I also know that it's never easy. And all the change that he's had throughout the last month, it's been a lot. And I think I question how tough it was going to be for him to call the game down on field level. And I think one thing that jumps out to me is that I, as much as I wanted to change with Matt Eberflus, because I felt like it was time, I just felt like it ran its course, I also was very, very hesitant of moving Thomas Brown off of being the offensive coordinator because of the success that we were seeing from Caleb Williams. And that's where my mindset has been this whole entire time after, you know, down the stretch of this season is Caleb progressing in the right direction? Is he taking a step in the right direction? Or I don't want to see the regression. And I knew that was going to be hard. And I knew it was going to be tough because there's so much on his plate going into, you know, this past week, that it was going to be hard. If it's here or it's somewhere else, I think that's why I'm rooting for Thomas Brown, to give an opportunity. It's like being a player. I was one of those guys that was trying to find his way onto, you know, a roster in Tennessee, whether it was on practice squad my first year and then going to NFL Europe, had to ball out over there to get an opportunity to play 14 games with the Titans. And like, you put your tape on film, so then there's other teams that give you a call and want to bring you in. And I think that's the same way that I'm hoping for Thomas Brown, is that he can get things back on track a little bit as the season winds down, and whether it's here or somewhere else, that he gets that opportunity, because he deserves it. And he's hard not to root for. But it hasn't changed. Nothing's really changed. I'm riding out to the end of the season. He's the guy in charge, and let's just see what he can do.
Well said. You know, Jared, I think that for me, I when it came time to make our picks, I just felt like I'm getting suckered here. I'm getting suckered. I got to go with the Niners because of the coaching matchup. Like, what am I thinking here?
Right.
And like, you don't get better. Like, say what you want about Matt Eberflus, the time management, the end of the games, all those horrible losses. But the guy was a good defensive coordinator. And the difference in that game was that the Bears, who used to stop teams for field goals, couldn't stop anyone in the red zone. And I mean, that was a Niners team that had lost three straight games, and they had managed just seven explosive plays, 20 or more yards. They had like nine in that game. And it was like, oh boy, they're back and there's no snow and the quarterback can throw and George Kittle is going to put up like a season. And it was just like, you got an elite play caller there, man. That guy is an excellent offensive play caller. And I think that you know, you were just kind of kicking yourself for buying in to a story that wasn't true.
Well, we were hearing it. I think for all of us is we analyze during the week now. I feel like this year has been that year where it's all about, from the beginning of the year, all of the press conferences. Like, we do it because on TV, we're always looking for sound bites to be able to play on TV. So we're going through and combing through. It's like, that is what we're waiting for every single week. And it's not the product on the football field. It's more of what we're hearing from the players. And I think we all kind of bought in because it sounded like, well, Luce is gone. Everybody's happy. And they're going to get this thing back on track. And like I said before, I just feel like, there's just some deeper issues here that this team has to figure out and inside that locker room, and who are the true leaders.
Yep.
You know, we hear so much from these guys on a week to week basis, and I always come back to that they all have their own radio shows and spots and this and that. But when it comes down to it, the one thing that really jumps out to me is, man, there are some good football players on this team. You can go down the name down the line, like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and all these guys. But a lot of these guys haven't won in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So they don't know how to, like, what I know, they know what it takes. They go out there and they're unbelievable competitors, but like, don't come from, if you're from another organization, DJ came from Carolina, like, They ain't win nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So who on this roster has that to be able to pick everybody up and know what it takes to be able to win, especially in the NFL? It is tough. I wasn't on a team like that in the NFL when I was with Tennessee, so I saw it. But I came from one in college that was almost like a pro team, and I saw what it took to win every single game, where guys were the leaders like Ed Reed and Jonathan Vilma and DJ Williams, like these dudes that, like, Reggie Wayne, Santana Moss, these guys knew, like, it was all about winning. They knew how to win. And so for a guy coming in, it was like, okay, that's the standard. This is the standard. This is how I have to prepare myself every single day. And for us, it was less talking and more action on the football field. We spoke on the football field. And I know this is a new day and age because of social media. There wasn't that back in 2000, 2001. But sometimes I feel like you might have to step back a little bit of less talking, more action on the field. But I don't know who those winners are and who's everybody following inside of that locker room. That's the question that I have. There's leaders in there. Don't get me wrong. Leaders. But
too which many one of those chefs. Leaders?
Who's won? Yeah. Like, who are winners? Yeah. And that's hard. That's a tough deal.
I suggested that they have everybody put their uniform on. They call up the captains one at a time and just tear the C off their jersey. And just get rid of the captains. And maybe have two guys be captain. You don't need eight guys.
I always say this. If you have eight captains, do you really have one?
That's exactly right.
If you have two quarterbacks, do you really have one?
That's right.
And I think that's sort of what you're talking about, JP, and how just learning how to win, like who's setting that example. I think of Tremaine Edmonds, like you kind of want him to be that guy, right? Like his experience, but it's,
he's got to start playing better.
It's yeah, tough.
He's not playing well enough.
It is. It's hard. You can't only be a winner. You have to produce on the football field as well for people to buy in. When you have like superstars and they can lead by example, but you got to have someone to be able to speak up that everybody follows. Like this is the guy. This is the standard right here. I don't know who that
Olin
is.
Guys like that were good captains.
Yeah, you need guys like Olin. Like you need that. And so when we were talking about bringing in, Ryan Poles talked about bringing in, you know, leaders and veterans. Yeah, I'm all for that. And it looked good early on. But when you go through times like this team is going through right now, it is. Who's going to grab it by the horns and say, let's go? I don't know who that person actually is.
I think also with Thomas Brown, having come from the Rams, seeing what it takes to win there, that's part of our romanticizing this situation, right? That's why we want this to succeed, because maybe he's someone that knows, you know, this is how we win. This is how we practice. This is how we operate. But I just think it's too late for him to jump in at this point in the season and just try and figure it out.
Ruthie, you are so right. I feel like I did not think about that because of he doesn't have enough time to he's trying to establish being a head coach. He's new at it. He's been around it and seen it, but now it's his job. It's his job now to be able to not be in those meetings. Like normally he was in those meetings with the offense. Now he's got so much more to balance, and it's such a short period of time, 5 games. As a job interview,
right?
Like that right there is so tough. And I think the reason why we were all like, please just let's see if we can get this thing back on track. And I don't know. I don't know how this all plays itself out moving forward. And I think about the coaching names that everybody's been throwing out there. It all sounds good, but I keep going back to the timeline here with the president, the GM, and the new head coach. And that to me is, if I'm a head coach, especially a strong-minded head coach, and I want to take this job, which I think would be a great job, especially I think mostly because you look at the quarterback situation, a young quarterback on a rookie deal that has some promise, but you also, how does that guy going in on that interview feel about Ryan Poles and his situation and how strong it is when it comes to kind of the hierarchy here in Chicago? It would concern me a little bit.
Well,
and I don't know how that plays itself out. Do you want to take a job with a GM that you don't know what his true tenure is going to be, like how much longer he could be here? I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think whoever takes this job takes it with the idea that the GM is now working for him, that he's come in and he's going to run the team and he's going to need his players and go do this and go do that. I don't think it's
taking all the power away from the GM.
But Molly, when's the last time they hired a coach like that?
Well, that's part of the problem.
So that's where I don't.
But that's what Vrabel would do. And I'm just saying, a lot of people talk about a guy like that. That's fine. But he's going to come in here and tell people what he wants. I don't know. I mean, Ben Johnson claims he's interviewing teams. They're not interviewing him. Okay.
But with Ben Johnson, I love the fact of being an offensive-minded guy, and I think that's where everybody hopes. But he's never been a head coach before.
We don't know how he is in front of the room. Right.
And my last thing is that Vrabel, that he's a strong-minded guy. You bring him in, but now you do start having success with an offensive coordinator, and next thing you know, he's going to be looking, calling his name for head jobs. Now you got Caleb kind of learning a new offense.
Yeah.
So this is going to be Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles have to figure this thing out. If that's the case, they got to figure out and get it right, because either way, you want someone that's going to get the best out of Caleb Williams. But what we've seen in previous years is that you hire guys that haven't had head coaching experience and it hasn't worked out.
No. And you don't trust the people making the hire. And that's the sad reality. Great stuff, Jared. Thanks a ton, buddy.
Thanks, Jared.
All right. Bye, Molly. Bye, Ruthie.
Bye.
Why do I get a bye, Molly? Bye, Ruthie. Like, how come you're sing song and I'm Molly?
It's just, you know, it's just sort of my brand.
I'm not as charming as I thought I was.
It's not that, Molly. I think it's just I'm a little over the top with the energy sometimes.
That's what we love. All right. We'll be right back. It's Molly and Haw with Ruthie, or dare I say, with Ruthie Felinski on Chicago Sports Radio.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
670 The Score.
Mornings with Molly and Haw on 670 The Score.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Felinski, kind enough to sit in this morning. We've had a lot of fun. And we haven't talked about the Monday Night Football game. We kind of blocked it out. And that's just the reality of when the Bears are doing poorly. And you just don't want to watch any more bad football. But I got several texts this morning from people saying that, hey, did you watch the Monday night game? That reminded me so much of the Bears, which is like a brutal thought. but it's pretty funny. Let's take a listen. This is the Westwood One call of the blocked punt.
Rico will punt. There's the snap. Oh, it was almost blocked, and it was! It was blocked! The punt was blocked by Dallas. The ball bouncing to the 45. Recovered at the 46. Dallas has got it. No, Cincinnati recovered. Cincinnati recovered.
They're saying a cowboy down the field hit the football.
But it was not the deep back man, Turpin. The ball was blocked. Coming through was Nick Vigil, a former Bengal.
Ruling on the field, on a kick play, the ball was touched by the receiving team beyond the line and then recovered by the kicking team. As soon as they recover the ball, it is dead. We ruled on the field, it's Cincinnati's ball, first down.
Wow! What a play!
Unbelievable.
The great Kevin Harlan, the brother of Chicago-based super agent Brian Harlan, he's on the call there, and the Cowboys lose on a blocked punt gone horribly wrong against the Cincinnati Bengals. And it was Bears-esque, I hate to say it, but Bears have had that season.
Can't get out of your own way.
Let's take a listen. This is the ESPN call of the blocked punt.
That's blocked! And picked up by Cincinnati out across the 46. It was blocked by Nick Vigil. And the offense comes back onto the field for Cincinnati.
That is a great name, Nick Vigil. He was up all night waiting to block that punt. Help. let's take a listen to the Cowboys and the Bengals radio calls.
All right, here's the punt by Ryan Rako.
Oh, got it.
Ball is blocked.
Got it.
Oh, no, no. Touch it. The Bengals are going to have the ball.
Oh, no.
You can't touch it when it's blocked beyond the line of scrimmage, and the Bengals are going to have it at the 45.
Oh, somewhere Leon Lett
is
saying.
Leon Lett, that's the exact play without the snow.
Oh, no. That did not just happen.
That did just happen.
The snap is good. Here comes the punt, and it's blocked. Can you believe it? It's rolling forward. The Cowboys may have touched it. If that's the case, the Bengals would get
the
ball.
They got it.
So that was the Cowboys first, and then the Bengals. And they mentioned Leon Lett. Well, let's take a listen to that one. You remember that one?
Doug Peterson to hold.
The ball, and then the Dolphins went on and recovered it.
It's on the 1 yard line. It's not in the end zone. It's in the 1 yard line.
They're going to sort it out.
And there's 3 seconds left on the clock.
92. Tolbert gets his hand up in the air and knocks the ball. No, it's not 92. It's 97.
Jimmy Jones.
Now someone touches the football here. Watch what happens. It's Leon Lett. No.
Oh no.
That's so funny.
I had to go back and watch that.
Yeah. That's a classic.
That's pretty unbelievable.
What year was that?
93.
Oh, boy.
I was going to bring it up to Coach Wanstead. He obviously coached Leon Lett, but 93, he was here. It was his first year with the Bears, so he missed. That was also, if I'm getting it right without looking it up, that was when it snowed in Dallas on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So imagine that. Dolphins, Cowboys in Dallas on Thanksgiving. And they had snow.
Like a lot of snow.
A lot
I'm
of snow.
Looking at it.
Can you remember the kicker? Did it say in the highlight who the kicker was?
Who was the kicker?
It was Pete Stojanovic, I believe, who was an Indiana guy.
Yeah.
And Don, I mean, how about who was on the call? Recognize the voices on the call?
I did not. Who was on the call?
I believe that was Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I do.
Okay?
I do remember.
Classic. I believe that was
that
an was NBC, NBC yes. game.
He
so Dick
great.
Enberg and Merlin Olsen on that call.
Merlin, didn't he like do Little House on the Prairie or something?
He did.
Because he
looked
had
good
that
in a pair
voice.
Of suspenders.
Yeah, yeah. He had that body and that voice.
He could have been on like, Yellowstone nowadays.
He looked like he belonged on the prairie. Do you know what's funny about those? So I have a couple of daughters. I have three children. And I ended up reading the Little House on the on the Prairie books. I did not read them as a little boy, but I read them to the girls when they were kids. I loved those books. Those
classics.
Books were fantastic.
Classics.
She apparently, they were like her grandmother's diaries or something, and she went back and rewrote them. Absolutely fantastic. And the character of Paw, that guy couldn't get out of his own way. What bad luck. Not since Shackleton has anybody had such horrible luck in his life.
I read those books when I was little, but I don't have the I don't really remember.
Oh, Paw was the ne'er-do-well.
Oh, that's great.
He just, if there was a bad decision to make, Paw would be like, hey, there's the creek. The creek's going to overflow. Let's build a house here. Like, he just made every bad decision.
Do you guys want to know how old I was in the Leon Lett game?
Oh, boy. Give it to us.
I was going
to
guess. I mentioned over here, before you do that, you just teased it. Let me try. So I know Tyler was not born yet.
Okay.
Tyler, and you weren't born.
And I said, I don't know if Ruthie was either. So that was my guess. I was right on the edge. So here we go. I was like, I'm not sure.
I was 10 months.
See, I was almost right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
November 25th.
I was covering.
It was my first Thanksgiving. Oh, that's
I was
nice.
A beat writer covering the Bulls' third title game. Okay, you were 10 months old. I was significantly older.
I was in the middle of my first of five colleges.
Were you really? Yes. Look at you.
I was at St. Norbert's at that point still.
Wow. Did you think you'd stay there the whole time?
I was hoping my parents didn't get the report card in the mail.
Oh, boy. Five colleges. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Better
five
than
and five.
One. There you go.
That's you were like the first.
I remember exactly where I was
transfer
watching that game.
Transfer port guy, right?
Yeah.
NIL guy.
Yeah, right. NIL guy.
Oh, boy.
It's good.
Wow.
Well, at least the Bears didn't do that.
Yeah.
In their game against San Francisco.
Now I really feel like I'm going to be gone by the time the Soto contract is over. Now that you tell me you were 10 months old and I was covering the Bulls.
No. No.
I was like a child reporter, for God's sake.
I was still reading you in the Sun-Times.
Thank you, buddy. You were the one. Can you send a couple of those stories off to who was it that was congratulating David on his writing
Ross
career?
Tucker.
Ross Tucker. Yeah.
Congratulating,
unaware
congratulating
that
David
I never worked for a newspaper.
That was epic.
That was hilarious. You know what's funny about that? Like, my kids, I don't think, understand I once worked as a newspaper reporter. Isn't that great? You put in years, and the kids are like, hey, why don't you go talk somewhere?
Ross was great on your show that day.
Oh, he's great.
He's great.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
He does a great job. Another Ivy League guy.
You know who else does a good job? And I just thought of this while we were listening to all the calls. Joe Buck, say what you want about him.
Yeah.
He is so on the details. Like, he doesn't miss anything. He is so good at his job. Hmm. And maybe it's my St. Louis bias here talking. But
see,
I love Joe Buck.
The Cardinal fans love him, but the Cubs fans hate
him. Don't say that word. I was harassed here when I told everyone that I grew up in St. Louis and I worked for the Cardinals for three seasons. So let's avoid that next show tomorrow.
I apologize. I didn't mean
we almost got there, Molly.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting. I was just, Dustin, am I right? Don't Cardinals fans love that guy? And don't Cubs fans
right, and I will admit, as I've gotten older since I was a college person in 1993, you know, Joe Buck is really good at what he does.
He's so
Troy
good.
Aikman is really good at what he does. I don't know. A lot of people I talked to ended up turning the Bears game off on Sunday.
Yes.
And a lot of people like, haha, you still have to watch, right? Because this is what we do, which I'm thrilled I do this for. Think about if you watch Monday Night Football or just heard that clip.
Yeah.
Think about what you had to listen to, okay, on Sunday afternoon, a 3:25 window. That was an awful announcing job. Okay, awful.
It was rough. It was a little hard.
I like Jonathan Vilma. I don't have much time for Kenny Albert personally.
Kenny Albert does like hockey, doesn't he?
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
excellent.
He's very
at
good
hockey.
On hockey.
Very good. Football.
That's what I was thinking as I was listening.
Not so much. When you don't want to hear Joe Buck, do you want to hear Kenny Albert? Big difference. Big difference. And it's only five crews.
So
basically.
I did not stay up for that football game because I didn't think it was worth my time. I normally would be camped in front of the Manning cast. I think they had the Manning cast yesterday and Bill is on it. I really enjoy that kind of exchange. And I hope that they have a Manning cast for the Bears game. Do you
last,
know?
That you set me up. That was it last night until the playoffs.
Oh.
And this is also a double. Oh. This is a double Monday Night Football.
Oh,
who's playing? It's Falcons at Raiders, and that's the later game.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's why they didn't
but
flex
it's only
out
later.
The Bears.
Like, these are like staggered by like 25, 30 minutes. Tops.
Right, yeah. It's the same time. Yeah. Right.
Wow.
I believe the Bears, locally will be watching on ABC.
And is that a 7 o'clock start?
7:15, yeah. It's the normal Monday Night Football slot.
Not early enough.
No, we need it earlier. I'm going to want them to flex that to noon on Monday.
Only thing worse than a Monday Night Football game is a Sunday Night Football game.
Yeah.
Right. Those are
for
so
this
late.
For this shift. For this
right.
Shift.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
So when they say I've been waiting all night for Sunday night, no, I've not been waiting all day for Sunday night.
You know, the problem with the Bears is that, you know, with a Monday night game, is it worth staying up and watching it for our shift? I mean, yes, because we have to talk about it and we will dutifully watch the game and be here to talk about it. I'm just saying, are you wasting your life? That's the only question.
I stayed with it last night, believe it or not, and I was actually, it like, delivered. Like, sometimes you're like, I stayed up all night. But if you listen, like, I thought I was kind of fading, right? I'm like, wait, did I just really see what I just saw? That's how weird it was.
Like I said, when people are texting you to tell you that was like a Bears game, it's never a good sign.
No.
When you have like a horrible play that decides a game and it reminds everyone of the local team, not a good sign that the season has worked out. Okay.
It reminds me, I think you guys had someone on your show, or maybe you guys were talking about it the week before the Lions game, about like, it was always the Lions going to lion, Lions going to lion, and now it's Bears going to bear, Bears going to bear. Like, that was Bears going to bear last night.
Patrick Manley said that, and it was very embittering for him to have to say that, because I think we did have that feeling for many years that the Lions were going to figure out how to lose, and that has shifted. Because they're now like a very good team, and God knows the division is very good. Now, the good news for the Bears is that they are likely, I don't know if they're eliminated yet, but they are going to have a last-place schedule. So there will at least be a few games that will go in their favor, even if the division is equally as strong a year from now, and I hope that's not the case.
Want a crazy division stat? The Lions, Packers, and Vikings are 28-3 against the rest of the NFL.
Yes.
Outside of games against each other, none of those teams have lost since October.
I saw Mike Sando. This was a statistic that was before the Bears played on Sunday. But the statistic was that the division was not just the best division in football. With the amount of points they were winning by, if you looked at the point differential between division teams and their opponents, the NFC North was the best division since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. That's how dominant the division was doing. Now, I don't know if the Bears blew that, because the Bears had been like a 1 point differential, right? 1 or 2 points, despite all the losing, but now they got clocked. So I don't know where it stands right now. But isn't that an amazing statistic? Not since the merger. What are you waving at?
I was corrected. It was not Merlin Olsen. It did sound like it was Bob Trumpy, who I actually adored and thought he was so good.
Trumpy.
But that was Dick. It was Dick Enberg. It was Dick Enberg and Bob Trumpy. So thank you to the 708 texter who corrected me.
I wonder how many times someone has muttered the line, Trumpy, who I adored. Really? You adored him? How weird and how...
I was trying to come up with a word that you would appreciate.
How intimate
I still,
an expression.
I still
to...
get... I still. He was really good. Okay. I missed those... Like, this is because like that he like did a lot of those national like 3 o'clock in the afternoon when I was growing up games. Like, they were big games, so I saw a lot of him. Molly, you know how much I love football. And
I know, but
I thought he taught me a lot. He was really
just,
good. He was really good
friends,
at what he did.
That's all I meant. And I'm not sure that
instead
anyone...
of me saying I liked him a lot, I did that, and I still, you know, trying to come up with these fancy words that you typically throw in the
fancy,
pick six to follow
fancy
me up.
Words. See, like, what fancy word have I ever thrown in the pick six?
Oh, there was one today that I wrote down because I hold
there
on.
There was a word today, and I got it right.
Engender.
Engendered, and I got it right.
Cause.
I know what it
means. It's a great word. Yeah, I just I circled it. Oh, it's just God. A good word. My vocabulary grows when I'm with you and David Hall.
God bless you. Yeah, I don't think that's that phenomenal. We've got, is it a Layla Tuesday? Is that right?
Tuesday.
And we got Dan and Marshall. I saw Marshall. Is Dan here? Do we care? No. Oh, don't be mean.
Maybe we'll keep him in the update studio for the transition.
All right, somebody's we'll talk to those guys box. Next. It's Mully and Hall. We've got Ruthie Polinsky on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.